The truth about self-driving cars might be that they're never going to drive themselves. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. This week, the California DMV said it's reviewing whether Tesla is telling people that its cars are self-driving when, legally speaking, they're not. This follows fatal crashes that may have involved its autopilot feature. Tesla advertises a, quote, full self-driving upgrade option. One guy has been busted in Teslas multiple times for reckless driving. He hangs out in the back seat and steers with his feet. Meanwhile, no cars are actually fully self-driving yet. Missy Cummings, the director of the Humans and Autonomy Lab at Duke University, says the so-called deep learning that cars need to see the road around them doesn't actually learn.
I can show a convolutional neural net a million images of a stop sign, and it will learn what a stop sign is from those images. But if it sees a stop sign that doesn't match exactly those images, then it can't recognize it. And this is a huge problem because if a strand of kudzu leaves starts to grow across just the top 20% of a stop sign, that is enough to make the algorithm be dumb and it doesn't recognize it because it's never seen a stop sign with one strand of kudzu leaves across it.
Is there an awareness of this, do you think? Is everybody sort of still trying to push the same solution when it comes to self-driving cars? Are people starting to realize these limitations and internalize them and change their approach at all?
I think they're three camps of people in not just in self-driving, but in robotics and artificial intelligence in general. There's the camp of people like me who know the reality. We recognize it for what it is. We've recognized it for some time. And we know that unless we change fundamentally the way that we're approaching this problem, it is not solvable with our current approach. There's another larger group of people who recognize that there are some problems, but feel like, you know, with enough money and enough time, we can solve it. And then there's a third group of people that no matter what you tell them, they believe that we can solve this problem. And they're not, you can't talk them off that platform. The people who are the biggest problem are the people in that second group, the ones that believe that with enough time and money, we can fix it, instead of recognizing the elephant in the room for what it is, which is not fixable under our current approach. And this is why you see companies like Starsky, a trucking company that went out of business, and you're starting to see all the mergers across the automotive industry where all companies are either teaming up with each other or with software companies because they realize that they just cannot keep hemorrhaging money the way they are. But that pit still has no bottom. And I don't see this becoming a viable commercial set of operations in terms of self-driving cars for anyone, anywhere, ever until we address this problem.
What about the tests that seem to be going fine? You know, like Waymo testing fully operating taxis in Phoenix with no support drivers and not having crashes.
Well, it's interesting to me that that's your perception because that's the perception that Waymo wants you to have. But the reality is behind every car, self-driving car in Phoenix, there are a team of humans that are remotely monitoring and potentially intervening when the systems go down. And there was recently a video that went viral on YouTube where a Waymo car in its fully self-driving mode got stuck by a single orange cone. And eventually they had to send a team of people to put a human in the car and drive the poor passenger out of the conundrum that he was in. And this is very recent. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, if we are having a car that supposedly is fully self-driving, so there's no driver, but we have to have a team of 4 to 6 people managing that one car for problems. First of all, that's not scalable. And, you know, it's not really self-driving if there has to be so much intervention. And if that's where we are in technology today, how are we going to make a business out of this? And John Krafik, the former CEO of Waymo, I mean, he recently left. I feel like John in that way was basically admitting what I have been trying to tell people all these years, is that we just can't solve this problem in the way that you think we're going to. We need to completely clean sheet this and start over.
So when we see, you know, Uber and Lyft, for example, essentially exiting the self-driving car business, all of that, do you think is a sign of companies who have sort of said, this is just a money pit?
Yes, I think that's exactly right.
On the other hand, we have Tesla, which is not doing any of that. Where, what are we to make of that?
Well, I think the Tesla situation is a little different. Hmm. So for example, should they be allowed to call their driving assist technology full self-driving? So, you know, that's one problem. And then if you want to ask, then is Tesla ever going to have a robo-taxi program? I'll tell you that answer is no. But that problem is less acute for Tesla because they have, you know, what is otherwise a great product. You know, I love Tesla cars. I just think autopilot and especially full self-driving are both overhyped and they underdeliver in terms of performance and they're dangerous.
So there's a math problem and there is a pretty significant marketing problem.
That's right. So I think that we're starting to see increasing numbers of crashes in this country and abroad where drivers think that their car is far more capable. You know, I think what is interesting to me was how the Tesla driver who got arrested for being in his backseat while he was driving vocalized that, you know, he'd already been warned once and he defied the warning and did it again and then said he would keep doing it because he knows Elon knows what he's doing and he fully believes in Tesla. And so what I find most interesting about that statement is that one man is vocalizing what so many people believe. They believe that this technology really can be full self-driving despite all the warnings and despite all the statements in the owner's manual and you having to agree that you're going to pay attention. Despite all of those warnings, you know, there's some belief likely based in calling a technology full self-driving and calling it autopilot, where people believe in the religion of Tesla full self-driving, and that is dangerous.
Missy Cummings is the director of the Humans and Autonomy Lab at Duke University, and not for nothing, a former fighter pilot. And now for some related links. There's video of that Waymo incident Missy mentioned at marketplacetech.org, and more reading on the California DMV review of Tesla's advertising. Its website does call the upgrade option full self-driving, but it also says the cars can't drive themselves. Back in March, a Tesla engineer told the DMV that despite Elon Musk's claims that the company would have a fully self-driving car by the end of this year, that claim did not match the engineering reality. For a refresher, there are 5 agreed-upon levels of autonomous driving, where 1 is you driving the car with your hands and feet, and 5 is the car doing everything while you sleep in the backseat in a way that does not endanger you and everyone around you. The Tesla engineer told the DMV, according to a memo produced by the agency, that Tesla is currently at level 2, some self-driving functionality but requiring a human with hands on the wheel at all times. I threw in a link at our website to a column about deep learning and why that author also thinks the tech is too limited to be able to adapt to real-world conditions, because the algorithms would have to pre-learn every single possible thing that could happen on the road, from a kudzu stop sign to a spaceship landing on the freeway. There's also a little more reading and listening on Uber and Lyft getting out of the self-driving game. Megan McCarty-Carino covered that on the Marketplace Morning Report. Apple might actually still be working on this, maybe. It got a patent in March for a night vision tech system to let its self-driving cars see in the dark. Earlier this week, Mac Reports also noted that Apple has increased the number of self-driving cars it's registered with the DMV from 66 to 68, but dramatically decreased the number of people licensed to operate those cars. And Apple hasn't applied for a driverless testing permit. Apple's been flirting off and on with self-driving cars for a few years now. First, it laid off almost everyone involved with its so-called Project Titan, but then it bought a self-driving car startup that was almost defunct. So I guess maybe they're just in the second category of technologists that Missy Cummings described. We'll call them the self-driving dories. You know, the fish who just keep swimming. Jesus Alvarado, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produced the show. Our engineer is Jessen Duller. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. It's listeners like you who make Marketplace Tech possible. When you donate $7 a month, you can get our new Liquid Assets Mason Jar mug, along with some cocktail and mocktail recipes from Marketplace hosts, including a couple from me. Get yours by becoming a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org/givetech. And cheers.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.